OTB AM. With Gillette, your Mo supported our frontline workers this Movember.
Former Kilkenny hurler Aidan Fogarty is with us to launch the Electric Ireland GAA Minor Star Special Recognition Awards. The awards will see Electric Ireland shine a light on young minors who've gone above and beyond in their communities throughout 2020. Open for now until December 14th, and you can nominate your local minor hero at electricireland.ie/minor awards. Good morning to you, Aidan. How are you getting on?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Can we start by talking about Brian Cody? Every year that Kilkenny go out of the championship or reach the end of the season, chatter begins to start about, geez, Cody's been around a long time, hasn't he? It's true he has, but for the first time ever, there's actually five or six candidates who could legitimately step in, it feels like, and take the job. We saw with the Tyrone situation, Mickey Hart has decided to step away and immediately took a new gig. What's the chatter in Kilkenny at the moment? Is Brian Cody coming back next year, do you think?
Yeah, I suppose I'm hearing this since I retired myself, and that's about 6 years ago now, lads. So it's on the tongues of the Kilkenny people for a long time. So look, he's in the job since 99. It's going to be Brian Cody's decision whether he stays or goes. No one's going to tell him whether he wants to go or not. Personally, I think this year, I don't think he'll go because of the COVID situation. He picked a backroom team there only this year. And we always talk about freshening things up and changing managers and stuff. But what Brian Cody kind of has done is he changes the backroom team to keep the freshness in the team and in the squad. So he's gone through about four or five backroom teams now, up to date. So with COVID and with the fresh backroom team, I think he's going to stay for next year. Look, next year is literally only 5-6 weeks away anyway. So he's going to, I think he's going to stay there till the year after. Now, on the flip side of that, it's 5 years since that Ireland final for Kilkenny. It's won Leinster title in 4 years. I think if it was any other manager, tongues would be wagging an awful lot more in Kilkenny. But it's just the fact that he has this massive record through the years. But that record really has kind of diminished since 2015. So questions are being asked. There are people in Kilkenny who have proved themselves as managers. Henry Shefflin, obviously. Eddie Brennan and David Herity as well, in the, who used to play in the goal. He's obviously up for nomination as well. So there is guys that can take it over, but I don't think he'll go this year.
Okay, that's interesting. And is there also, because they haven't been winning All-Irelands at the usual clip, is there a recognition that the players aren't there, or is there a belief that the players are there and the team isn't performing to its potential at the moment?
Probably in Kilkenny, the belief is probably the players aren't there. And that's probably, they're comparing them probably to the Kilkenny team before this one. So say the one I was on, maybe the 10, 11, 12, that Kilkenny team, which is probably unfair on the players. Now, look, you have to look at the results this year even, how Kilkenny performed. They scraped over Dublin. They won a Leinster final where I felt Galway were actually the better team. They just stayed in there. And if you look at the way Kilkenny are hurling, it's more of a kind of a grit, a hard work, a determination. And there are traits that are associated with Brian Cody, and they're Brian Cody's ethos. So you'd imagine if Brian Cody left, what way would the Kilkenny team be then? Would another person be able to come in with that kind of an aura and presence and get that ability out of these hurlers? Because it was shown there against the semi-finalists, the second half, we were absolutely blown out of the water. So the belief in Kilkenny is that the players are probably not there, but they're being just held together by this belief that comes from probably Brian Cody. And there's two sides of it. If Brian Cody goes, will it freshen the whole thing up and lads buy into the whole thing of a new manager? Or if he stays, will it just go staying? That's probably the question you have to ask.
Yeah, and look, we don't know the answer. That is the $64 million question. Is it going to be like things were at Manchester United after Alex Ferguson went, where it's taken a long time to get to a point where, and even now, are they even back to a point where you can realistically say they're contenders for any of the competitions they play in? That would be the fear, that grit and determination goes because he's the glue holding it together. But the other flip side is that Eddie Brennan has proved himself to be a very modern manager who's ready for the modern game, and maybe that's also what the county needs. So you're kind of trapped a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I remember playing my latter years under Brian, and he was slow to change to the kind of to the touch hurling. So you know, ball to hands, work it out from defence, sharp puck out. He was very slow at the time to change to that. Now he has changed his manner on that way now. All right, good to see you with Kilkenny. But the likes of Eddie Brennan, fresh face, has done the business. And it's interesting to note, a lot of players have gone in with Brian Cody. Even this year, you have Martin Comerford. you have DJ Carey, you have James McGarry. Before that, you had Derek Ling. You know, kind of ex-players going underneath Brian. And the feeling was that when these guys went in, that they were the next in line. But the two guys that have never went in are Henry Shefflin and Eddie Brennan. And I'm just wondering, do they feel that if they got the opportunity to do the job, do they just want a clean slate of not being under Brian Cody, bringing in their absolute own techniques and not being associated with the techniques of Brian, if you get me, just for the player's sake. Mm. So it's interesting to note that them guys didn't actually go in. And I think they were asked over the years, I can't be certain, but I'm sure maybe there's a phone call made here and there and they didn't go in. So just interesting to note maybe for the future that maybe they thought down the line they might be able to get the job.
That's very interesting. The idea that if Kilkenny take a heavy beating, the entire management team will get blamed, essentially, and maybe trying to avoid that if you're not the top man, not the manager, is probably a good political move from Shefflin's point of view, for example.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. You know, if Henry kind of went in now underneath Brian and Kilkenny didn't do well, there's kind of a stain there already, because Henry then is staying on and he's going to be the next manager, but they're still kind of playing from last year. So if Brian went with no kind of ties to any selector underneath him and a spanning new manager came in, I think it'd be just freshen the whole thing up a little bit more. Now, not necessarily so Brian, who knows when Brian's going to go, but I just thought it was interesting that the guys didn't go in underneath Brian, that I felt that they wanted to bring their own thing to it. Now, that's if they want the job. It's like, we just don't know. We're only speculating, of course. But there is people in Kilkenny, and Kilkenny don't go outside for a manager. All through the years, they've kept it in-house. There's enough of people in Kilkenny that have hurled with Kilkenny, that won Ireland's with Kilkenny and All-Stars, that are well capable of taking over Kilkenny when it comes to it. But the thing is, as we said already, would it fall apart with kind of a new management, like I said, the Alex Ferguson stint, or would it bring a whole new freshness to the side? Look, I think there is a new freshness needed to Kilkenny. How they get that freshness, I'm not sure. You know, you can change managers all you want, but it has to come down to the players too. They're the guys on the field. They're the guys playing on the day. And the feeling is the players aren't, I suppose they're not as good as the players that have gone past. Now, the players that have gone past, you have hurlers of the years. Yeah, like that doesn't happen every year. That was just kind of a bit of a phenomenon. It happens every so often. You can look at Ballyhale. Ballyhale are a small club in Kilkenny, but they produce these players every kind of 7 to 10 years, you know, the Fennellys and the Coreys and stuff. So it's kind of a generation and generation thing. It doesn't happen every year. So you just have to go with what you have at the minute and play to their best abilities and get the best out of them.
Like you say, it's just like speculation that the likes of Shefflin and Brennan will be interested in the job. But if you take the Ballyhale club job or if you take the Laois County job, there's probably a chance you want to be Kilkenny manager at some point. You've proven that you're interested in the actual art of management in the first place, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the fact that you do actually take on management roles in clubs. You know, I've been asked over the years maybe to train clubs and stuff. I just felt I wasn't ready, that I was still hurling, and I just give it all when I'm still hurling, that I wouldn't mix the boat. But the fact that I actually got into management, you'd imagine the next step is going to be inter-county. Now, I feel Eddie has a little bit of a step on Henry in that front, because Henry actually hasn't trained an inter-county team. Eddie Brennan has gone into Laois, who were doing very poorly in the Joe McDonagh Cup, in a relegation of the Joe McDonagh Cup, and turned the whole year around and did superb with them. So I think he's a step ahead of Eddie is a step ahead of Henry in that front, because he actually has trained an inter-county team. Henry, on the flip side, probably has the more accolades and probably the more presence, but Eddie has the more experience.
Maybe they could dream team it, could they?
Maybe they could dream team it, yeah. They can call me in there if they want as well. I can help out if I can get to these matches and get a good seat.
Taggy Fogarty issues, come and get me, plea to new dream team. That's the headline we're running with.
Yeah, that's it. Or maybe I could just go into management, lads. But forget about Henry and Eddie.
What's your plans? You obviously are interested yourself.
Look, as I said, I'm still playing hurling myself. So I said I wouldn't mix the bottom. So, but I would be interested down the line, I think. I think it's nice to kind of give back to the GAA world. I'd probably start maybe with my own club and go from there. And that's not to say, like, you've heard with Kilkenny, you've heard at elite level, you've heard at a high level, but management is totally different. It's nearly kind of a CEO of a company, and it's kind of a business ordeal, because you're doing everything in behind the scenes. Like, I was talking to David Herity, and the phone calls he's making and the things he's trying to organise. And I was thinking, like, this should be kind of taken out of your hands. You should just manage the team. And he said, look, at the lower levels, this is what you have to do and this is what you need. You need your finger on the pulse always. So So I just felt myself, I would be interested, but not while I'm still playing.
OTB AM with Gillette, your most supported our frontline workers this Movember.
He's done a great job. Like, Kildare are rightly delighted with how well he's done. And, you know, he's somebody who's proven it in Camogie as well. I think that there's a really interesting career ahead of him. Anytime you talk to him, you kind of come away feeling like you've learned something too. So let's move on and talk about the All-Ireland final, because obviously we've reached that point where we've reached the point where I think people are talking themselves into Waterford potentially turning Limerick over. And a lot of it has to do with the inside forwards. We figured we might try and focus on, in particular, the Waterford inside forwards with you, just to get your impression of how well they're doing this year. In some respects, it's one of the most unexpected inside forward lines that we've ever seen, given the circuitous route and the health issues that they've both taken respectively to get here. But how well are the two lads doing?
Well, the whole forward line for Waterford, I feel, has kind of changed. And that's probably from Liam Cahill's touch on them, really. You know, you have Desi Hutchinson, who's after coming back from a professional outfit in kind of the Brighton soccer, and it's all well-documented, he played for Brighton and things. So he's come back into the scene. So he has straight away has a professional mind and a professional kind of an outlook on trying to get the best out of himself in the corner. Austin Gleeson is starting kind of in a full forward, kind of a roaming role. And then you have Jack Prendergast, obviously, in the other corner. So Austin Gleeson tends to kind of drift out around, and the two guys then are just creating havoc inside. Now, the thing is, with that full forward line that I would be slightly worried about is they're probably getting perfect ball at times. You know, the half forward line of Kieran Bennett, Stephen Bennett and Jack Fagan, and the runs of Tadhg Na Burka, they're spraying perfect ball in, only at times now, but they're getting the reefing the benefits of him. If you look at Hutchison the last day, he wasn't getting that fabulous bounce, first touch bounce into your hand ball. And I'm just wondering about the fight ethic. But if you give him perfect ball, they will destroy you. And the second thing to note, I think, is their directness and their movement with the ball. Before, maybe under Derek McGrath, they were kind of going linear, they were going across the lines. But by God, when them boys get the ball into their hand, they are going straight at the goal. And if you look at Stephen Bennett, what a year he's been having. You know, he's been hampered with injuries when he was 20. I think he has two operations on his hip.
Four.
Only at 20 years of age. Was it four? Yeah, like it's mental at 20 years of age. And he's coming back in 24, 25. The hips are probably a little bit better. I think Liam Cahill brought a freshness to him and a belief to him. But he is just setting the things alight. And Jack Fagan, I heard with Jack Fagan in college in Carlow. I went back to college when I left Kilkenny around 32 years of age. And he was brilliant for us. And he's from Meath. And I just like this. He's just such a talented man. And he's on the half hour line, really good in the air. But they're direct running and they're running off the shoulder is really what impressed me.
If you're an inside forward like, say, Desi Hutchinson, is there an element of patience that's required in the modern game where all your teammates can basically puck the ball over the bar from 60, 70 yards? How much of it is a waiting game and just waiting for your opportunity?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. I've often stayed in there for balls, waiting and waiting, and I got the curly finger from Brian Cody, so that's no good in my game. But like, it's playing into the team plan. It's playing into the bigger picture. Like if they come out, they have to stay in there, and they're being told to stay in there. And what they're being told by Liam Cahill is, it will happen. You will get the ball. All they need is three or four balls into the hand in the whole game, and they will punish you. So it is a waiting game. It's a frustrating, but it has to come from management, because if you don't tell a player that you will get the ball, stay in there, don't panic. We're not going to take you off, but look, we just say, look, just don't panic, stay in there. Because if you don't tell a player that, he's going to get anxious. And then if you get anxious, you're kind of moving out the field. I found it myself. I'm kind of moving out towards the ball and following the ball a little bit. But the whole team, the whole game has changed, because the movement even across the lines, the possession rate is a lot better. Ball to hand, looking at trying to find the guy in a better position. This is all playing into Waterford and playing into Limerick as well. And it's playing into the modern era of hurling. Before, it was just lump the ball down and win your own ball. And that was our way. But that, in one sense, that was a tactic, because we had great men in the air that would win ball. We had physical guys. So that's the way we played. but you have to change tactics for what you have. And I think with the guys inside, you can look at Gillan as well. He waits for his moment, and the last day they had put Mannion back to cut out that ball coming in, and that was a man straight away gone from the half-forward line.
So that's good management by the sounds of things, Aidan, to actually get the best out of an inside forward, to actually communicate to your player that if you stay in, you'll get the chance. Don't worry about the curly finger. Don't leave the inside the opposition 21-yard line or whatever it is. Stay in there. You'll get your chance, and I'll lead you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it has to come from it's communication. It's believing in the player, and it's the player believing in the manager. You know, there's nothing worse if you're thinking, God, I could be called off here after 10 minutes, because straight away you're looking over your shoulder. Straight away you're anxious. I need to get on the ball. And you don't need to get on the ball at all if that's what you're being told, if that's the game plan. Stay in. Now, the game changes. I find the game changes so quick this summer and the last couple of years, because they either have a game plan to spray in the ball. The best thing to do is spray the ball towards maybe the corners, or just put it outside the full forward line so they can latch onto it. And if that's not working, then if there's a sweeper back, they have to be told, guys, if there's a sweeper back, we're going to try aiming for the half forward line. You can see Garrod Hegarty, you've seen Morrissey the last time. They kind of stay out. It wasn't getting productive inside because of Mannion. So they kept the ball in the half forward line, taking long range scores. And that's okay as long as the whole team know it and the full forward know that this now is the plan, rather than trying to hit the full forward line all the time.
But that must be very frustrating as an inside forward up against a sweeper then, if that is the tactic around it, rather than going for the corners and going laterally against the sweeper, you actually just drop the ball short to your half forward line. It must just alienate the full forward line quite a bit, the advent of the sweeper.
It does, absolutely, yeah. Now, like, you're obviously going to have balls to the full forward line at times, but your game plan technically is gone. So it is so frustrating. And that's where the waiting game goes. That's where the patience is. And that's where the belief in the management team and the management team having you, that just stay in there. This is our game plan now. That's not to say you're not to work. Like, most of the time, you spend most of the game with the ball not in your hand. So I'm presuming these guys are told, off the ball, you are making runs. You are harassing. You are hooking. You are out there. So you're not out of the game completely. You're absolutely in the game, but in a work rate mentality, rather than being on the scoreboard.
You mentioned Gillan. Sorry, you had a point there. Everyone, go on, then I'll pick up on Gillan afterwards.
No, it actually was a point on Gillan I was going to make. That, like what you're saying there, it suggests to me that Limerick are the team best placed to withstand an injury like Aaron Gillan. Of course, every team wants to have a player of that quality available, but because of the power of that half-forward line and because of the way that they've shown that they can change up their game quite a bit, they might actually be able to survive without Gillan in a big game like an All-Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They might. Well, it depends how the other team is setting up. If they have a sweeper cutting across, then obviously they're going to start from the half forward line is going to come into play hugely. But the half forward line anyway on any team is a huge part of the play now, between work rate, between getting possession, between shooting through the lines. But I think Limerick at the minute are in a best position to hurl like that, because we've seen them do it. We've seen the full forward line destroying teams, and then we've seen guys putting back, say like the Mannion the last day, try to hamper their effect. And who took over the mantle? Only Hegarty, Morrissey, you know, Kyle Hayes, the wing backs are making runs up along the side. So they're taking them on the side, and they're told, there's no doubt about it, they're told, if there's a sweeper and if Gillan is under pressure, go for the score. And when you go for the score, you can't be, like, they can't say, why did you do that? You don't see the forwards looking up with their hands kind of hanging saying, let it in, because they know that this is the game plan now. But I think Limerick are set up very good in that sense.
Who do you think's going to win?
Oh God, I've 2 weeks to think about this. It's a difficult one. It's so hard. I think Waterford are just hopping, you know, and I know it's in Ireland, it's going to be so strange, no people there. The belief in the Waterford team in that second half, and I think the first half against Kilkenny, they were just nervous. It was just a nervous energy, poor decision making. But when they went at it and when they ran at Kilkenny, they absolutely destroyed them. Now, Limerick are a different kettle of fish altogether. I think the hurt, there's hurt there from Limerick, there has to be. And hurt drives on a team hugely. Kilkenny caught him in a semi-final last year, and they are gunning. They would have loved seeing Kilkenny in an Ireland final. Don't get me wrong, they would have loved it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you get beaten by a team, all you have in the back of your head is, I want that team again to get back at them. So I think the hurt, I think the loss of the semi-final last year will drive on Limerick hugely. Now, Watford are coming in, nothing to lose. Like, they're in such bonus territory already, but they are absolutely hopping. But I just feel, with passion, with the heart, with the panel that maybe Limerick have, you know, KSC, they have English, guys like this to come on, Pat Ryan, they just look as if they're really determined. And when they're under the pressure, the likes of Hegarty and these guys are stepping up to the mantle. Like, they're not panicking. So I'm just, at the minute, I'm tipping Limerick.
Okay, it's close. And I understand that. I think that's going to be the case. And I think a lot of it will be about, some of it might come down to who's available and who's not available. Who's your hurler of the year so far?
Hurler of the year, God, I suppose, look, hurler of the years are usually picked on our Ireland finals anyway. So for me, there's probably two from Limerick and two from Waterford stepping up to the plate. Kyle Hayes, I think, wing back, playing fantastic stuff. Just really attacking player. But Garode Hegarty, I think, for Limerick, is my hurler of the year so far. He's just been awesome in tackling, in hooking, in, you know, his contribution to the Limerick team all round. You know, he scored 4 points against Galway, 2 against Waterford, 2 against Tip, and 5 against Clare. So he's on the scoreboard. But the more important thing is, when Limerick are under pressure, who would you look for? The goalie, you know, he pucks it down on top of Hegarty to win a ball. Hegarty seems to win it free. You know, he catches it out of the air. He just drags Limerick through them tough spots. And teams are always going to get, you know, a run on you. But Hegarty, just win it free, get on the ball, make a hook and block. Just superb. And if you look at the rest of them, you know, probably Stephen Bennett on the Waterford team is probably the other one I was thinking about, and Tadhg Na Bhfirca. But I think they have to have big matches in the All-Ireland to get hurler of the year. Hegarty just has to do enough to get hurler of the year, because I think he's in pole position.
Yeah, he is at the moment. He's the favourite as well. It's great to have you with us this morning, and it sounds like you're sharpening your brain in preparation for whatever coaching career is coming next. So keep it up. It's good stuff.
Yeah, no, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll hurl it for as long as I can, as long as the body lets me, and then I'll see what I'll do then.
How long is that, do you think? Are you like one of these American footballers who's going to go until you're 44 or 45, or is it nearly imminent?
The last 3 years, I was thinking, no, I've no Grafford now. I'm going to go. And next thing, the sun comes out, and it's July, and the ground is nice and dry, and I'm like, lads are asking me, actually, you may as well come back, sure, you know. And the big thing for me is that I think I'm still contributing to the team. I'm not just a name there anymore, so I'm still kind of contributing. And the body is in decent shape. I'm not breaking down with injuries. If I was breaking down with injuries every day, I'd probably call it a day. So at the minute, probably not, but next July, I probably will.
Oh, well. On that note, great to have you with us this morning. Cheers. Thanks.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app, or ask Alexa, Siri, or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.